Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 62.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, here we are at the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 62. Thank you all so much for being here and listening. I'm your host, Brendan Lowe. And in this episode, I'm really, really excited because I put together 24 popular movements that happen over 2-5-1s, and specifically each chord of a 2-5-1, a major 2-5-1 and a minor 2-5-1. So I'm gonna be talking about these movements, explaining them, and that way you can use these specific movements as building blocks, right, to help your improvisation, help your movements through your improvisation and around the piano during these, you know, popular movements that you see in jazz standards, 2-5-1s, right? So super excited about that. I have the document with all of these 24 movements is available at jazzpianoschool.com/podcast62. So you can get all the movements, the notated movements, by going there. We will send you those and you can have them and practice them. Super stoked for this. I'm really, really excited. I think it's going to be very, very helpful. And I'm super excited because of the last episode, the Oscar Peterson episode we did. It was very popular amongst people. So we got a lot of good feedback. Thank you all to left messages and wrote emails in for your support. So again, we're affiliated with jazzpianoschool.com. You can go to the website. lots of free information on there, including this podcast. We also have a members community with a full course curriculum, which is step-by-step with practice materials, workbook materials, lesson text, and videos galore, which is not a library, it's a curriculum, meaning it's step-by-step, and I put that together to help people navigate the smorgasbord of jazz information that we get. And I struggled through my career, you know, in my upbringing, learning jazz a lot, and I wanted to make it as easy and helpful as possible to spread this knowledge to other people. So there's a free trial for the curriculum and course there if you go to the main website. So again, here are the movements. The first movement we're going to dive right in here is going to be, so I'm going to do 2-5-1s. I'm going to explain the movement, and we're going to go through the four movements. There's four movements per chord. So we're taking a major 2-5-1, so in the key of C, so D minor 7, D minor 7, G7, C major 7. So we have four movements for each chord, and then we have a minor 2-5, so we have D minor 7, okay, going to G minor 7, basically with a flat 13 in there as well, okay, if I were to play this, right? And then going to C minor major, so a minor 2-5-1, all right? So on the first movement we have, and again, these parts of the movements, I'm gonna kind of explain the movement and then show you what you can do with it. So the first movement is simply, a lot of these are gonna be super simple, right? It's simply an approach to the third, and if you guys have studied approaches, you'll know what this is. We're basically surrounding the third or below. Now this approach, I mean, it's just, I pick these because they're so popular. You're gonna see these all around. There's lead-ins to that fall into this, right? And again, that was a variation of their approach. There's variations of the approach. You can go backwards, you can go forwards, right? You can do it this way. You can do that. Again, you can lead into it like I did. So again, this this approach, just going to your third on any minor chord, is just really, really popular. And I use it a lot. I mean, it's amazing. You can go anywhere. So you could start out your line, or you can go up, right? So it just has so many different possibilities to move with that approach. So experiment with that approach. You know, try and practice all the different variations I played here. The only notated, I just give you one notation though in the practice download, and that's going to be these approaches. So I have both of those there, but experiment and build off of what I've shown you here. So that's number one. Number two, which is a very popular movement, is going to be kind of similar to the first one. We have a triplet, an eighth note going into a triplet. Sorry. And it's just that, right? So we have one and two, pull it, three and. Now again, this can just go to as many different places as you want to. You know, it can go up, you can go back down, right? So that's a very common movement you'll see. Right? Anything, it can go basically anywhere after that. The third movement on our D minor 7 is going to be, again, a lot of these are just very simple, but they really, really add to the sound of your improv because you're soloing really on, like, in the chord. You're not kind of diddy-dallying around the chord playing non-chord tones. All these movements deal directly with very strong movements with the chord tone, so it's going to really bring out the chord that you're soloing over. So again, we're just outlining. I'm just laughing here because we're just outlining the chord, right? And that's it. And so many things come from this. You can go back down, right? You can go down to start your outline, right? And again, these will all connect in your 2-5-1. So these are, you can mix and match these. You just need to figure out the connection, right? How you would land on that G7. But again, right? You, just the outline of the chord can do so many different movements and things that you definitely want to have that in your repertoire. And it's just a great thing to use, right? So any sort of movement and outline. That was number three. Number four, okay, again, very, very simple. It's just, I'm laughing here because they're so simple, but they're so effective. I use them all the time. It's just a movement up the scale, the Dorian scale. That's it. Just that movement there. And people seem to forget this because they're like, I don't know what to play, but it's just like, you know, oh, you know, that is basically, that's something simple I can use, and people tend to overthink it. But just going this, you can go back down, right? Or you can keep going up, right? You can keep going up that way. Right? You can do chromatics down. But just starting off that run, and again, you can do this run coming down. You can do that. You can do that, right? Do that. So again, starting off your line, moving up and down, just a five note run. It's really, really simple of the Dorian scale, going up or coming down. So those are your four movements over your minor seven chord. Now for your dominant seven chord, lots of stuff we can do here. Again, so the strong movement you're going to hear over dominant chords a lot is going to be the approach to the third, and this is definitely something you should add into your repertoire, right? You're going to hear this all the time because it's such a strong movement. The third serves as such a strong note in the chord in harmony that you just hear this movement all the time, right? You'll hear that. You might hear that, right? So I'm trying to think. You might hear. So again, just the use of this movement. Right, something like that. It's in everything, right? And it's a great way to resolve to your dominant chord, resolving to the third there in any sort of way that you want, using chord scale above, chord scale below, half step approach below, and then to the third. Okay, that was five. This is number six. We're gonna start on the sharp 11 and then resolve to the fifth. You saw me doing a lot of that before in some of the minor movements, right? We could connect it to the one I just did. Right? I could keep going up. I could go back to the lick. back to the approach, just in a different manner. Right? This one we're doing this. So there's so many variations, right? That right? You can do that. I like that one. So again, just that, using the sharp 11 in your dominant chord to resolve or approach the fifth is a very, very strong movement. You'll hear a lot as well, okay? I'm losing track of the numbers here. 4, 5, 6, here's 7, okay? 7 is just gonna be the dominant bebop scale. You're gonna hear this all the time. If you don't know what the bebop scale is, it's just a passing tone in between the 1 and the 7 of your Mixolydian scale. So, right? So that's your dominant bebop scale, but just that motion of that itself is just a very, because it's a bebop scale, right? The name, the title of it speaks for itself. You're gonna hear that motion in lots, like Charlie Parker, Dizzy, all these bebop players have this motion in their playing, right? And you can start from any chord tone. You're gonna hear this all the time, right? So you have an approach or, right? So we have the approach I had showed you before, 4, right? Chord scale below. You know, so you're combining, you're mixing and matching all of these, but having this movement, again, you can use it going up if you want, right? And then you can go back to the other one. So the great thing about all of these guys is that you can really kind of mix and match. They're just pieces, they're puzzles, they're pieces to the puzzle. And I shouldn't say puzzle really, because puzzle pieces fit in one spot. I don't have a good analogy now, but there you can mix and match them. You know, think about any of these, any sort of mix and match thing where you can create, you know, like magnets on a fridge, you know, you can build your own story. That's the best I can come up with. But everyone knows those, right? You can build your own story with the magnets. That's what this is. You can build your own, you know, bebop lines, and that's how bebop is played, and that's how jazz improv is played. I mean, I have, you know, the movements surrounding the piano, I've just played so many times, and people have played so many times, you develop a relationship with them, they become your own, and then you're just kind of creating your own movements using little patterns like this. Now, obviously, there's a system to practice this. It's not just learning lines like this, I want you guys to understand. Learning all your approaches so you can make sense of this is really the most structured way to go about this. That way you can really move around the piano however you want. That's actually in, we do all the approaches in the Jazz Piano School main course, the movements like that. But again, these lines will definitely be helpful as well. So here we go. We're on to the eighth one. This is gonna be the last dominant one. And again, this is just another triplet line. You'll see triplets are very common. So 1 and 2, pull it, 3, right? Come back down if you want, right? You can do that. Something like that, whatever. You know, whatever you want to do. It's just a great way to start your line off, or you can throw it in the middle or wherever you want, okay? Number 9 is gonna be, now we're on our major chord. So again, we have another triplet. So here, again, we're just approaching the third from a half step below and then outlining our rootless voicing, right? You could do that. You could do that. You could go up, right? So again, just this little triplet line, that's really gonna, that can connect to a lot of different things. All right, number 10. We also have, again, the approach to the third. You're gonna hear these all the time. The reason you hear them all the time is because they're such strong movements that will really outline your chord. Okay, it's the same approach we use for the G7, right? You can combine both of them, right? Right? So again, however you want to use that movement, it's great. Number 11, we have this. What do I have written here? That's a really strong movement as well. Just starting from the fifth and then resolving to the one. Since you're on a one chord, resolving to the root of the chord sounds really nice to finish your line off, right? You know, and just really end it. So that's a really nice one. You can, just a very kind of finishing line that you might hear a lot. Number 12, we have, I'm kind of speeding up here because we have so many. Let me see. So again, this is part of your major sixth bebop scale. Now on the major sixth bebop scale, your passing tone is between your six and your one. And this is definitely a must have in your repertoire because you need to be able to line your chord tones up if you're starting on the third or a root, right? So again, it just lines your chord tones up and it really gives you that bebop sound because you're approaching the five from the six chord. And again, most of your six chords were the mainstay basically in the bebop language, more so over your major seven. And that's why you have the major six bebop scale, because it lines up your chord tones on downbeats as you're using it. Right, so you can use it however you want on that major chord. Again, you would play, you know, you can play your major seven voicing. It'll still sound okay, but if you play a major six voicing with it, it'll sound even better because you're playing the left-hand voicing with the approach that you're using. All right, on to minor two fives. Now again, your minor two fives are a little bit more difficult. There's more theory involved, okay? We're using different minor scales. I'm not gonna go into all that today. I just wanna show you the movements. But here's number 13. Here's our D minor seven flat five. Okay, so what we're doing is we're approaching the flat five and we're moving up from the flat five, one. Now we have natural nine in here. This is outside of our, basically our scale. So it's more of an extension, this natural nine here. And then we resolve to the third. So here's the movement. Sorry. Do I have that? No. Right. So again, you can do a lot of variations with that. So you can do, could keep going up. You know, whatever you want to do. So again, there's just so many different variations you can do after you use that line. You can come back down too. So just that, it's a really, really nice thing to do. Again, now the next one is one you heard me play. You're gonna hear this a lot. It's the same notes, just coming back down in a different rhythm. Again, you can keep going down, but again, here's the movement. All right, so one, two, bullet, three, okay? Number 15, our third one over our minor seven flat five, we just have, again, a movement going up. Up the scale. So again, from here, right, we can continue up, we can go back down. Right, again, use our approach to the third of our G7 that we'd be going to. Just so many movements, it's the same thing, but just using our minor scale now. You know, we can continue up that way. So very strong movement there. Number 16, we have the outline again. I had to add these outlines, even though they're the same thing, just over the major and minor seven and minor seven flat five, right? So again. You know, so many different ways you can use just your outline of your chord. It's just incredible. And just these types of arpeggios, these outlines, there's so many different movements you can do. So that's the last one for your minor seven flat five chord. Now, moving on to our G7 flat nine flat 13, okay? So again, this movement starting from the third, going to the flat nine, one, seven. There's just so many different things. Once you hit that third, right, you can do so many different things with it. It's a very strong movement. So many different ways to lead into the C minor major or the one minor major from this third. Right, something like that, but again, so having that flat nine in there is very important because it's part of your minor harmony, okay? And again, you can go up, which is the next one actually, number 18. We start on the third and we go up to the flat nine this time. So, you can resolve that way. You can go, sorry, resolve up that way. So again, just that movement. So three, five, seven, flat nine, back to the one. Okay, very strong movement there. 19, okay, we have more triplets. So we have, this is more of a bigger line, right? You can hear that resolving here, but again, you can take little bits and pieces of it. You can just use the triplet. Going up to the B flat. Right? We could do that. We could do that. So again, just a really strong movement with that triplet going up to that B flat. Again, this is more use of the altered scale with that sharp nine in there rather than the C harmonic minor, which goes to the B natural for the third note. Your altered scale will use both a flat nine and the sharp nine and then go to your third, so which is completely okay. I mean, you can do that as well over your dominant chord here in a minor 2-5-1. So number 20, we have a movement going up to the flat 13, starting from the third, and then coming back down. Again, just a nice movement. You can go either direction. Right? Again, just so many different ways you can go with this movement. You know, you go to the 13 of the C minor major. So that's number 20. We got four more here. So we're now on our one minor major 7 chord, okay, in our minor 2-5-1. So here's our first movement. Again, surprise, surprise, we got a triplet outlining our chord tone. So we start on the 9. And again, from here, this will be like a piece of cake if you've worked on the other ones, because you can use the same movements. You know, something like that, or something like that. You know, you can do whatever you want, just starting with that movement. You can come down, you know, if you want to do that. I actually just slide my thumb down here. You can do a crossover if you want. Lots of stuff you can do. I'm just playing around here. I'm having fun working on these myself. So, all right, our next one is, again, approach to the third, which is really nice. Anytime you approach the third, it's a really strong movement in general. So we have approach to the third. What I love about this one is that we get the minor third in there and the seven. So our line includes both of the shells, which is a really strong thing to do in your improv, because you're really outlining the chord qualities using the third and seven. So we have third, seven, and then resolving to the one. And again, we can keep going as much as we want if there's two bars, or just use different pieces of this. We could use that. We could use this. We could flip-flop them, right? We could start with this. Sorry. I forget what I played before. Something like that. But again, you can switch them up. You don't have to use the approach. That's what, this is so great. Any of these lines, you can flip-flop. So you can take a little portion of one line from the beginning of the measure, you can flip-flop it, use it with another thing. Again, just mix and match. All right, here's number 23. This is really fun because we're playing around with essentially the 13 in our minor major 7, which gives a really kind of just mystic quality when you use it over a C minor major. It's really fun when you use a combination of the major 7 with the 13 or the 6, excuse me, in your line. So here's the line. So again, it's just... this is one of the lines where it's, again, mix and match. So you could just use this. That's it. You could do. Again, it's just playing around with this A or the 13 in the minor major. Now, the other portion of this that I have is just coming down chromatically, which would resolve down to the G if you want. Or you could resolve down to the A if you want as well. Just a really fun note to add in there, which you'll hear a lot as well. It's a very popular movement using that 13 there in combination with the major 7. Right? right? Landing on that 13 there somewhere, and the minor, the major 7 there in your minor major chord. All right, here we are at 24, our last one. We have, starting on the 5th,